With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. And I'm pleased to be joined, as always, by Bo Wolf.
Hello.
And Fran Duffy.
Hey, guys.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, and very, very disappointing.
You're wearing green.
I'm wearing green. Look at you.
Nice.
I mean McPherson. I have to.
Irish heritage.
Top of the morning to you.
But I mean, at least the Eagles green, if anything else. Well, midnight green.
There. Well, that's not Eagles green, but I guess.
No, yeah. But for you guys.
Midnight though. Green, baby.
So, needless to say, what a wild week that we just encountered.
Needless to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can quickly, I guess I'll just quickly summarize the transactions, and then we can delve into the big picture of what all these moves mean. The Eagles re-signed two of their own, bringing back linebacker Brandon Graham and quarterback Mark Sanchez. They added two players in trades, Kiko Alonso from the Bills and Sam Bradford, quarterback from the Rams. They signed two cornerbacks in Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurman. And, you know, just to finish things off, two running backs were signed in Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray. The Eagles lost two of their own in Jeremy Maclin and Nate Allen, who signed with the Raiders. So no more Nate Owlin jokes for Bo.
And, of course, Nick Foles goes to St. Louis in the Sam Bradford trade.
And Trent Cole and Todd Herman's both signed elsewhere as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts.
So Chip Kelly wins 20 games in his first two seasons and, you know, doesn't settle for the status quo. Pretty much says, I'm going to just remake the roster. It's the first year that he has full control of the personnel decisions, everything from free agency to the draft, soup to nuts. And he said, I'm going to remake this team in my image, in my vision, and try to turn this thing over as quickly as possible because he doesn't just want to get to the playoffs. He wants to win and hopefully bring a parade down Broad Street. And Sam Bradford, we could start there because that's going to be the move that, in my estimation, will really impact whether all these moves together work. And Fran, you did a phenomenal job in the All 22 Eagle Eye in the Sky piece breaking down the five things, you know, the five aspects of quarterback play that you look at when evaluating a signal caller, and Sam Bradford checks the box on each of those items.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, I had to kind of combine a few different traits, and you know, I tried to sum it up as best as I could, but really, I mean, from a physical standpoint, I mean, there's a reason why he was the number one pick in the draft in 2010. I mean, the guy checks all the boxes, like you said. He's got a strong arm. He's really accurate. Everything from the mental aspect of the game, you know, whether it's processing information, going through his reads in the pocket, you know, throwing with anticipation, he's got all that down. I mean, he's able to read route concepts really, really well, attack defenses. He handles all the no huddle aspects of the offense really well. So he's going to be a great fit, you know, from that standpoint. And then physically, everything's there as well. So obviously, the big question that, you know, that comes with Bradford is just the durability with the two ACLs, and that's what, you know, Bradford referred to it as the leap of faith. That's what it's going to come down to: is can he stay healthy? If he does, I think he's going to be a great fit here in Philadelphia.
And it, you know, it didn't take very long for me to be fully on board with Sam Bradford. First of all, great press conference, very handsome man, very striking, big fan. But you know,
it takes beauty to recognize beauty.
That's exactly right. You know, I will say the two people I've ever been told that I look like are a young Chevy Chase and Sam Bradford.
I've never heard anyone compare you to Sam Bradford.
It's when he was when he was the Heisman ceremony.
You're hearing it now.
But you know, in the Mariota talk, the theory behind the whole thing is let Chip Kelly get his quarterback. Well, I think that Chip Kelly has decided that Sam Bradford is his quarterback, and he went out and got him. And I think we were surprised at the value that they had to give up a future second round pick, but there were other teams competing. So that's what the value was. That's the price I had to pay. That was the market price. And you know, Nick Foles, credit to him, but you know, led the league in turnovers last year. I think the Eagles needed better play at the quarterback position. And if Chip Kelly thinks that Sam Bradford is the guy that can give it to him, let's go forward.
And I you bring up a great
obviously
point.
Obviously, yes, to stay healthy. That's,
yeah.
You know,
but. And you bring up a great point, though. If fans, because obviously the immediate reaction from the fan base was, it was obviously more negative than positive. But
it was a roller coaster week for fans.
Sure thing. As absolutely.
Well. But well, yeah, because the first reports were that we were getting Bradford and moving up to 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, so there was the highs and then the lows. But I mean, if you had the trust in Chip Kelly to go up and get the quarterback that he wants, and that everyone thought that was Mariota,
this is the guy he wanted.
This is the guy he wanted. So you have to have that trust. That just because you don't agree with it now, right. You know, that doesn't. If you have the trust in Chip Kelly, which all of us do, and I think a lot of the fans do, you know, you have to believe in this move. And Bradford brings everything to the table. So I'm excited to see him suit up this fall.
The Eagles have to be fortunate that the Rams didn't jump when they were offered a first-round pick, because a day after the trade was made, Chip Kelly addressed the media for the first time since the season ended and said that morning, that Wednesday morning, they were offered a first-round pick. So the Rams had offers of a first-round pick as well. So at the end of the day, if this trade works out, and essentially you do give up Nick Foles, but if you basically are parting with a second-round pick for a franchise quarterback, that's lucky.
Right.
You're fortunate.
Yep.
And I think Chip made the great point that it's very rare that top players become available in free agency. It's either for injury reason, a la Drew Brees, or they couldn't come to a contract, couldn't agree on the contract.
Yeah,
terms.
I mean, it's a risky move. There's no question because of the injury history. But, you know, when you're looking for a quarterback, you have to sort of take those risks because the reward is so worth it if you can find that guy. And it's also why it was important that they re-sign Mark Sanchez,
yes,
so that they have a guy in place who can handle the duties if Bradford does get hurt.
No question.
So to look at the team's updated draft picks, because I know there's some discussion about there, what do the Eagles have? The Eagles have 8 total draft picks. They have their own in the first 3 rounds. In the 4th round, they have the 49ers pick through the Bryce Brown trade,
right,
from 2014, which came
via
to
Buffalo.
Yes. In the 5th round, they have the St. Louis Rams pick as well as their own pick. And then they have their own picks in the 6th and 7th round, so 8 picks total. The compensatory selections will be awarded at the league meetings early next week. Folks, Eagles aren't getting any.
No.
So the Eagles will have 8 picks.
Not for a couple years.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Looking at all the moves that the Eagles have made, and this is something that we debated, Bo, myself, and Dave Spadaro, in the big question on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, which position has been improved the most? And Bo made a great case, and I'll let him make his. I went with running back because you took LeSean McCoy, who question could be, when is he going to hit the wall? When's he going to start to decline? Probably sooner than later, but he probably still has a couple of good years left in him. But the fact is, the Eagles rely on him to be the bell cow, the guy for the last 2 years, and fortunately, he's held up and, you know, been able to answer the bell each and every week. Chip Kelly, I think, realized he needed some insurance, so he got not just one, but 2 starting quality running backs, and you still have Darren Sproles in the stable. So I went running back, even though you had LeSean McCoy, who was so productive the last couple of years. Bo, you went a different way, a unique perspective on
it. Well, my position is just that the Eagles got good play at running back last year. Maybe you couldn't have relied on LeSean McCoy to carry that load again this season. But in terms of just improving from 2014 to 2015, I think DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews are going to be great, but it's not going to be that much better than what LeSean McCoy gave you. Whereas I think at quarterback, the whole point of making the trade is so that you get better play at quarterback and you don't have all those turnovers. You pick up the plays that are there for you. You make the right reads. That's what Bradford's here to do. That's why I think the plan, at least, is for there to be a big jump at quarterback.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Bo. I unfortunately haven't been able to read the piece yet, but I think I would agree in that it would be quarterback taking the biggest jump, because obviously you got the great production at running back for the past 2 years, and you ran for Shady ran for 1,300 yards a year ago, but we did dodge a couple bullets. I mean, we remember a couple of those times where he did leave the game with injury, and there was a lot of worry about would he be able to play, and he was able to come back, and he was fine. But you have to worry about whether or not he was going to be able to handle that kind of load a year from now. But you know, when you look at Sam Bradford, we talked about it already. Physically, he brings everything to the table. He's more athletic than Nick Foles was. He's definitely, in terms of all the different traits you're going to look up, there's a reason why. Again, he was the number one pick in the draft. I mean, he was Marcus Mariota. He was Jameis Winston. He was Andrew Luck. For that draft, he was the guy. And it wasn't just the Rams that felt that way. I mean, that was the consensus. So, look, I think it's a great pickup. And as long as he stays healthy, and that's the risk that, you know, you're taking, it's a huge, huge jump.
And then, of course, you've also got Spuds carried the water for cornerback. Obviously, the whole point in spending all that money on Byron Maxwell is that he's going to come in and be your shutdown guy. And then the other one is inside linebacker, because in addition to Michael Kendricks and D'Amico Ryans, now you have Kiko Alonso.
My only thing with running back would be you have short yardage, red zone situations where I think you could run the ball better. And I think you have better scheme fits. Chip Kelly's guys.
And I think that's true.
That's a valid point.
And obviously, that's why Chip brought these guys in. It's one of the first things he said. And as far as those signings go, you know, heading into free agency, I would have said part of the reason for making the LeSean McCoy trade is that so you don't have to spend that much money on the running back position because it's a more fungible position. You can find those guys in the draft. We talked all draft season about being able to maybe bring in a guy in the third round who could come in and start.
Last week's show we delved into.
Yeah, sure.
And so I was surprised that the Eagles made these moves, and you can debate whether or not that was the best use of resources. But in terms of these guys, they're great fits. And I like, you know, I would have been nervous about DeMarco Murray because of all those touches last year, and obviously that's not something that Chip Kelly hasn't considered before. He knows the history of those guys. But I'm more excited about it because they brought in Ryan Matthews, because that means I think there's a plan to at least keep the reins off of DeMarco Murray a little bit. And certainly if he's healthy and if he's 100%, he's a great fit for the system, a better fit for the system than Shady was, as good as Shady was.
Yeah, I mean, you got two guys that are physical, one-cut, you know, decisive runners downhill that which should fit this scheme. And if both guys are healthy, you've got two great bell cow type backs. And if one's not healthy, you've got a guy that can carry the load. So, and obviously you still have the Swiss Army knife in Darren Sproles. So this backfield it's the best in the league. I mean, I don't think there's a debate, right? It's something to see.
All right, so we got a great show for you this week. Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. He contributes to us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com during the season. He's going to provide the fantasy implications of the Eagles' moves. Excuse me there. In the first week of free agency, and also discuss some potential players who could fill the holes that the Eagles have in the upcoming draft. Our unofficial visits will be with Oklahoma tight end Blake Bell and potential first-round pick TJ Clemmings out of Pittsburgh, and our pick six will be in honor of March Madness players who have played basketball in the past, and last but not least, our draft mailbag, actually a very good one this week. We asked fans to propose their Eagles mock draft. And we got some very,
yeah,
very
I'm looking forward
good,
to going through these. Yeah.
Very, very good responses.
Because I do one every day.
So on that note, we're going to delve into our first segment here on the show, the latest news in Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, to kick things off here on Draft Buzz, the reported official visits are starting to trickle in. So enough of these unofficial visits. Sure. We're getting the real deal here. And we'll go through a couple here. Tony Pauline, our good friend from DraftInsider.net, reported that the Eagles have hosted or are in the process of hosting Benardrick McKinney of Mississippi State, projected to be a first-round inside linebacker.
Now, friend, there's a possibility, because he played outside a little bit before. Do you think it's a possibility that in the Eagles' offense he could be moved to the outside?
In the Eagles' defense.
In the Eagles' defense.
Potentially. Well, that's the question.
Oh, that would be crazy. Chip Kelly's going yeah.
He was, a high school quarterback.
Bucking conventional wisdom, as always.
I mean, McKinney at 6'4", 246 pounds, I mean, he's got rare size for an inside backer. So, you know, some teams might see him as like a Dante Hightower type player. But I think watching him, and I've only watched a little bit of him. I haven't watched a ton. I got to still go back through that position. But I think he's got the flexibility to be able to play a number of different positions, and potentially he could play, you know, as a strong side backer. So could he be, you know, a Connor Barwin type player? You know, I don't know. I think McKinney's got the athleticism to be able to do it. I mean, he ran a 4.66 at the 40. Not that that's a you know, the benchmark for athleticism, but that would have been a top five amongst all linebackers a year ago. You know, he's got a high motor. He plays sideline to sideline. He's instinctive. They did line him up all over the place in that defense. So, you know, I think he's got a lot of different, you know, skill sets that can allow him to transition to a number of different positions to the next level.
Very interesting. Our second reported visit comes from Rand Getlin of Yahoo, who reported that the Eagles hosted wide receiver Nelson Aguilar out of USC, a player who I've compared to Jerry Macklin on the, I think it was on last week's show when we talked about the players who, if the Eagles re-signed or signed, that would take them out of draft consideration. Nelson Aguilar, also a player who's going to come up later on in the draft mailbag. A lot of fans, I think, want to see him.
So we didn't sign Macklin, so that means Aguilar's back on the table.
He's back on the table, exactly.
Right,
so
he's intriguing because skill set wise, he brings a lot to the table, especially after the catch. I mean, every time this kid touches the ball, it's like a punt return, and he's got some punt return ability. He's got 4.4 speed. He was a high school running back. They lined him up all over the place, and that offense there at USC this past season under Steve Sarkisian, very similar to what you know, you see from a lot of these college offenses from Chip Kelly when he was at Oregon, you know, what you see at UCLA. I mean, it's a very similar type offense. They run a lot of the same plays. So he's got, you know, it's less of a projection when you look at a guy like Nelson Aguilar. There's some question with his hands and, you know, obviously some things that he can improve on as a route runner. But Aguilar is a very intriguing prospect.
All right. Dane Brugler from CBS Sports reported that the Eagles hosted Arizona State safety Demaryius Randall for a pre-draft visit.
Yeah, Randall is intriguing. I mean, we saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he was, I thought he was one of the best safeties there.
Yeah, he seems like he's gaining a little steam as everybody is sort of trying to find a safety that they can believe in. I think Randall is sort of getting a lot of play and you know, could be as high as the second safety drafted. It's possible.
Yeah, I think so. And the big strength with him is his ability to cover receivers out of the slot, you know, and be able to play in space. That's something that not a lot of these safeties have, and he brings that to the table.
So safety, obviously one of the big needs for this football team. What are the biggest positions that you would figure the Eagles are going to have to address in the draft after losing Nate Allen in free agency? All right, and our last reported visit, actually, it comes from the source himself. Jalen Strong, sticking with Arizona State, the wide receiver, posted a picture on Instagram of him outside the NovaCare complex yesterday. He was also the subject of our Meet the Prospect series.
That's right.
On PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And he'll come up a little bit later as well. But I wonder, does he count as a local visit because he's a Philadelphia kid?
That's a good question. Those rules always kind of, I'm not exactly sure, because it's like, okay, well, if he's a local, he grew up here.
Right.
But obviously, the school's not anywhere near local. I have to look at that. I'm not sure what the rule is.
We'll talk a little bit more about him as a prospect later.
Sure.
Okay. There was one more visit, though.
There was.
Yes. Timmy.
Of course.
Timmy T.
How can we not talk about Tim Tebow, who reportedly worked out per Adam Schefter and the rest of the Eagles B crew jumping on board?
I've never seen a workout get more publication than what...
I think it's great. I hope we sign him. We're not going to, but I hope we do. I think it'd be great.
Transition from there to some of the recent mock drafts that have come out. Charlie Casterly of NFL Network has Landon Collins, Alabama safety, pegged to the Eagles at number 20. So again, safety position going to be in the spotlight. I could see that being a popular mock draft position.
I think
position.
That's the popular one right now.
We have to update our mock draft.
I want to say the Belichick quote, but I guess I shouldn't.
Charlie's a great guy. I mean, look, I mean, Collins is going to be the guy for the time being that's going to be one of the more popular names mocked to the Eagles. And
I just don't think he's going to be there.
That's going to be the question. Is his value going to spike because of
there
the lack
no
of
other safeties?
Safeties? Right,
yeah.
And that's a valid point.
Someone's going to reach.
Yeah, I mean, at 6 foot, 230 pounds, he was I think he was 228 at the combine. He was the heaviest safety for sure. You know, I think he's probably best fit in a kind of Deion Buchanan, the way that Arizona utilized him this past season, close to the line of scrimmage. I think that he can play deep, but I think he's definitely at his best moving forward, you know, attacking the ball downhill. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be a really intriguing player. I'll be interested to see where he ends up.
Is he a true first-round talent, or is his value being pushed up because of the fact that he's the consensus top safety and there aren't many other safeties available?
I think he's a first-round talent as long as you use him in the right way. I mean, that's the thing, is that Deion Buchanan, last year, I didn't think Deion Buchanan was a first-round pick, but the way that Arizona used him, absolutely he was worthy of a first-round pick because he was such a dynamic player for them on that defense last year. I would say that if you're going to draft him and use him in that way, absolutely he's worth it.
All right, and our other mock draft we're checking in on, Rob Rang from CBS Sports, an Oregon lineman, not Jake Fisher, Eric Armstead.
Interesting.
Defensive end.
I would be surprised if the Eagles used their first-round pick on defensive line, considering the other positions, not necessarily of need, but that need attention in the draft.
What happened to best player, Bo?
I know.
I agree.
Best player
available. Listen, I'm just saying I'd be surprised.
Yes.
Maybe he is by far the best player on the board, but I would be surprised.
And he's got a ton of potential. I mean, you look at a guy who's 6'7", near 300 pounds, the athleticism, the sideline-to-sideline speed that he's got, and it's not just the raw athleticism. I mean, there's a lot of people question his ability just because of the lack of production, but, I mean, you guys know, in that kind of scheme, in that 3-4 scheme, those defensive ends aren't necessarily going to put up the hugest numbers. This guy's got the ability to hold up at the point of attack. He's got good technique. He can attack blockers in a number of different ways. I like Armstead. I think he's got as much upside to me as Leonard Williams, who a lot of people think is the best defensive player in the draft. So Armstead, to me, is a stud.
All right. So on that note, we're going to bring in Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com, this week's Mr. Relevant.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
Mm-hmm. This week's Mr. Relevant is someone who fans of the website are quite familiar with. Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. You can follow him on Twitter at FG_Dolan. He's a co-host of our Fantasy Spin segment along with Bo Wolf and also writes the
presented by Bud Light.
Correct. And also writes a weekly Fantasy Spin column that can be found on Fridays during the season. Joe, looking at what the Eagles have done in the first week of free agency, I think it's safe to say that fantasy owners are going to be pretty frustrated with this team next year, especially when you look at the running back position with DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles in the backfield.
Yeah, Chris and Bo, when they signed Ryan Matthews...
And Fran, too.
Or when the... And Fran, excuse me. Sorry, guys. I was in studio. Fran, I can't believe I forgot you. I'm so sorry. Anyway.
Right. He gets forgot a lot.
As a matter of fact, when you guys called me to do this segment, I was pulled away from Fran's wonderful Sam Bradford piece on Philadelphia.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. How about that?
So I was right in the middle of that. It's going to take me about 3 years to digest because it's so intense. Anyway. Let's talk about the Eagles' backfield. Now, after the Frank Gore situation, I don't know what else to call it other than that, and I thought that Ryan Matthews, of the guys on the market who I thought that the Eagles would pursue, would end up being a really great fit in Chip Kelly's offense. And I wasn't surprised when the reports came down that Ryan Matthews was agreeing to terms with the Eagles. I thought, in ways, I thought they might have actually lucked out, ended up getting a better player for their offense. And then the interest in DeMarco Murray, when it first said, hey, the Eagles still have him on the fringes, I was like, they want to pull him away from the Cowboys or they want to drive the Cowboys' price up. I wasn't reading into it too much. And then you hear Adam Schefter and Adam Kaplan saying the interest is real. And then I'm like, I started to try to digest. And when DeMarco Murray finally put the pen to the paper and I really had to take a look at this, you know what? Paying DeMarco Murray to be the lead back in this backfield. But we're talking about a guy who had 450 offensive touches last year. Chip Kelly does not want to do that with DeMarco Murray. And in a way, it makes a lot of sense to bring in Murray, Ryan Matthews, and then still have Darren Sproles in this backfield. I think Murray and Matthews, in ways, they're similar players. I think Murray is a guy who has handled, obviously, more of a workload in his career. But the Eagles don't want to drive him into the ground. So my assumption, and correct me if I'm wrong, because assuming what Kelly is going to do is a futile exercise, as we've learned this all season, I'm thinking a 55-25-20 between Murray, Matthews, and Sproles. My vision for what the Eagles are going to do is kind of similar to what the Packers do with a little bit of Sproles mixed in. You're going to have two series for Marco Murray, one series for Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles on key passing down and the return game. And while that might be a headache, I think he's going to run enough plays offensively that DeMarco Murray is still going to provide return on a mid to late first round pick. If he stayed in Dallas, you might be talking about a guy who would have been the number one overall pick in fantasy football. I don't think that's going to happen in Philly. But DeMarco Murray, to me, is still a locked in number one running back. Ryan Matthews is a phenomenal handcuff who some weeks might provide flex value on his own. And frankly, I'm not sure Darren Sproles' role is going to change all that much from what it was last year.
Well, Joe, if you were delving into Fran's Sam Bradford piece, I think he's maybe the clear winner of this from a fantasy football perspective of the first week of Eagles free agency. Do you expect that Sam Bradford, if healthy, that's the caveat that we always have to throw out, that he will be a starting caliber fantasy quarterback?
Absolutely. And I think one advantage that fantasy players might have with Sam Bradford is the general assumption around the fantasy landscape that Sam Bradford isn't going to be healthy. Look, now, if Nick Foles was still here, or if Mark Sanchez was projected as the starting quarterback in Philadelphia, or even something that Chip Kelly emphatically shut down, if Marcus Mariota would be the quarterback in Philadelphia, I would think that you would see the Eagles quarterback in that instance getting drafted very high. Around quarterback 6, 7, 8, even if it was a rookie like Mariota, because of the way people assume this offense is going to be run. I think a savvy fantasy player can take advantage of the fact that people don't know if Sam Bradford's healthy. I expect him to come off the board right now, and I'm just taking a guess, 13, 14, 15 at the quarterback position. But Chip Kelly, in his offense, in his 2 years in Philadelphia, has produced consistent number one quarterback numbers out of Nick Foles, out of Mark Sanchez, and out of Michael Vick. If Sam Bradford is the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles and he stays healthy, he will be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And I know Jeremy Maclin's gone and they've got to work on replacing that, but the guy is going to put up points. It is a fact. We've seen it with multiple guys in multiple years. Sam Bradford is a guy I will be targeting because I don't draft a quarterback early. And you just have that cushion that you can put Mark Sanchez on your roster or always keep an eye out for him on the waiver wire, because we know from last year that Sanchez came in and put up numbers. This is an offense that is conducive to success for the quarterback. I will be targeting Sam Bradford in my draft.
Joe, of all the pass catchers on this team right now, and obviously there are a few of them that you can refer to, whether it's Riley Cooper, Josh Huff, Zach Ertz, you know, Brent Celek, there's a lot of options here. Jordan Matthews, obviously, as well. Who do you feel best about going into next year with Jeremy Maclin not on the roster? And obviously, look, there's going to be moves that have yet to be made, you know, from those two positions. But who do you feel best about that's on the roster right now?
Well, obviously, the guy you feel best about is Jordan Matthews because the track record's there. Matthews was a strong number three receiver in PPR last year, especially with Mark Sanchez, and at times was putting up number one fantasy receiver value. Matthews is a guy whose role I don't really expect to change. And the like Darren Sproles, that's a little comforting given all the changes for the Eagles this year. So I expect Jordan Matthews, while his role might not change, I expect his targets to go up. I think Jordan Matthews is ascending. He looks like a number two fantasy receiver who could put up number one numbers in a PPR. So he's the guy I feel best about. I definitely expect Zach Ertz to take a big step forward. And while his snaps were a little bit down last year, at least in terms of what I expected them to be, I don't think they have the luxury of limiting his snaps anymore given the departure of Jeremy Maclin. Zach Ertz is a top five fantasy tight end in my mind simply because the landscape is so tough with Jimmy Graham moving on somewhere else and Julius Thomas moving on somewhere else. I think Zach Ertz takes a step up. But my personal favorite, Fran, and you and I have talked about this, I'm all in on Josh Huff. I hope you follow me on Twitter because 2 weeks ago before free agency, I said, go get Josh Huff if he's cheap in your dynasty leagues. Jeremy Maclin's a free agent. I thought at that time that the deal would have been done if it was going to get done. Chip Kelly's offense is very conducive, as we said with Sam Bradford, to putting up numbers. And Josh Huff has a really dynamic skill set. As a matter of fact, I think you can make the argument that Josh Huff has a more natural talent than Jordan Matthews. He just didn't get the chance to show it off last year. I'm very high on Josh Huff, and while I expect the Eagles to add maybe a free agent, maybe a trade, I expect them to draft a guy or two at the wide receiver position. I think Josh Huff is a guy who is clearly ascending in his second year.
Joe, speaking of the draft, we talked about some of the reported visits, and Nelson Aguilar from USC, Jalen Strong from Arizona State are players who have been mentioned to have visited the Eagles in the pre-draft process. Who are some of these guys, some of these receivers, that could be selected by the Eagles who could potentially help from a fantasy standpoint as rookies next season?
Well, one guy who I've really been interested in is a raw player out of Auburn by the name of Sammy Coates. And I really am intrigued by his after-the-catch ability. There's some deficiencies in his route running. He had inconsistent hands in college. But the physical profile for a guy like Sammy Coates is there. And I don't think he's a guy who you're going to have to take in the first round in order to get your hands on him. And another guy who I think is really fascinating for the Eagles, simply because we know that they kind of like these guys who blur the lines between positions, and that's Devin Funchess of Michigan. He's a big guy who didn't time as well at the combine as you might think, but he plays like a wide receiver. And while he looks like a tight end, he plays like a wide receiver, that gives the Eagles a ton of matchup problems. If you look at Zach Ertz, you look at Darren Sproles, if you look at Jordan Matthews, who they use as a big guy out of the slot, I think a guy like Devin Funchess could give the Eagles a ton of options. I think he's somebody they probably have to take in the first round, maybe trade back up in the second like they did with Jordan Matthews to take him. But he's a guy who I think the Eagles, you can see them target on the first or second day of the draft.
I think, Joe, obviously we would be surprised if the Eagles took a running back early this year after the free agent expenditure for DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. But I know you've been studying this really deep group of running backs entering the draft. Obviously, it's going to depend a lot on fit where these guys go. But do you have an early favorite at that running back position?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be blowing anybody away when I say that Todd Gurley is my favorite back in this draft. I mean, he does everything. The question is he healthy? But as we've seen, and the Eagles obviously believe, ACL injuries at times are not as serious as they used to be. Todd Gurley is a freak of nature who's young, is working back from his ACL injury, expects to be ready sometime around training camp. I would not be shocked if Todd Gurley was a first-round pick in this draft. And as you mentioned, Bo, it depends entirely on where guys fit as to where I'm going to project them for fantasy. Right now, I put out a top 10 list of my favorite top 10 backs heading into the draft. I expect it to completely change post-draft for fantasy because of where these guys are going to land. But you might see a guy like Melvin Gordon. Maybe Melvin Gordon ends up in Dallas. And at that point, while I have a little bit of questions about Melvin Gordon's ability to be a three-down back in the National Football League, if he lands in Dallas, I think he's going to be a really high fantasy pick. I think he's going to be somebody who's really coveted because of that spot. Maybe somebody like Tevin Coleman, who I have around 6 or 7. He comes out as a guy who ends up in Dallas, and he lands in a great spot. Maybe David Cobb is given a shot to be a lead back somewhere, or maybe he ends up somewhere where he's behind an established veteran and is going to have to wait his turn. So while it's a really diverse group of running backs, we're not going to be able to shake them out for fantasy until after the draft. And if you're doing something like maybe a best ball league, like an MSL 10 or something like that, right now I would just focus on talent. Gurley would be my first running back off the board. Maybe you take a guy like Jay Ajayi, who was an established three-down back at Boise State, and I expect to get an early three-down role in the NFL. Maybe you take him early. And the other guys, you just got to cross your fingers and hope they land in the right spot.
Joe, one thing that's always fascinated me is, you know, obviously there's so many, when you look at draft season, there's so many media entities that are evaluating and are judging all these different prospects. And obviously with the boom of fantasy football, so many of the fantasy football sites are jumping in on evaluating all these players. How do you think that, you know, from a fantasy perspective, you know, the evaluations change a little bit when you're trying to evaluate a guy from a fantasy perspective and then as to what he can bring to an NFL roster, you know, from an X's and O's perspective? How do those two things change, you know, when you're looking at a player at, let's say, the running back position?
Well, this is what's really difficult to me, Brandon. I'm going to stick with the running back position for an example of what I'm looking for. When I've been studying the running backs, and I'm not going to try to say I'm a draftnik or anything like that. My main focus, because I'm a fantasy guy, is on the skill position. But I've been watching these running backs really hard for a couple months because I knew it was a great class coming out. And on film, my favorite guy to watch has been Amir Abdullah of Nebraska. But there's a couple things that concern me about him. Number one, he fumbles a ton. Number two, his blocking, his size, are not conducive to having a consistent third down role in the NFL. So I'm trying to balance the fact that I absolutely love his natural running ability, his ability to catch the ball, with the fact that he does two things that coaches in the NFL absolutely hate. He fumbles and he can't block. And if you can't get on the field, you're not going to put up fantasy numbers. So that's what I'm trying to balance when I'm looking at these rookies. Does this guy do something that a guy like Tom Coughlin's a guy who we have complained about for years in the fantasy industry because of he takes talented younger players off the field because he looks at them the wrong way. But you have to look at why Tom Coughlin is doing that. If Amir Abdullah lands with the New York Giants, for instance, and I'm not saying he will, but just saying he does, and he fumbles in his first game, he's going to end up like David Wilson a couple years ago, where he's in the doghouse. So I have to look at what does he do that might annoy a veteran coach? What does he do that could get him off the field? And then I have to try to balance that for fantasy. So that's why Amir Abdullah, who, in my opinion, was my second favorite back I watched after Todd Gurley in this draft, why did I put him at 5 on my pre-draft rookie report? Simply because he does some things that I think might keep him off the field.
Joe Dillon from fantasyguru.com. You can check out the site. They're providing content all throughout the draft season. In fact, you can sign up for newsletters, and they'll be delivered right to your email to give you the latest fantasy implications of all the free agency moves and what could be coming up later on in the draft season. Joe, thank you very much for joining us here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA.
Guys, it was awesome. Thank you.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
All right, time for this week's Pick 6. So in honor of March Madness, which kicks off tonight, actually, with the play-in games, we're going to select 6 players each who have basketball backgrounds. So since we know Bo's not going to be doing any work later in the week, come Thursday, taking off the for the holiday.
We got days off to burn before the calendar turns over on April 1st.
It is true.
I'm a Temple grad. I don't have anything to celebrate. I'm pretty bitter.
What are you talking about? You got
NIT.
The number one seed in the NIT. Sure.
Woo, yes.
I every year I do a mock bracket just because I used to always do it. And so I keep the tradition alive. I had Temple as the very last team in.
Oh, you?
So they didn't have it.
Your own bracketology.
They
Bo Lunardi.
Have only themselves. They have only themselves to blame, but they had a better case than UCLA for sure.
Those Northeastern Huskies made it.
Yeah.
We'll just move on.
Yeah, we'll just move on from that.
Especially since they play in the same conference as Drexel. So
there you go.
Not that Drexel's been to the conference tournament since I started going to school there back in 98. Yes. All right, so pick six. I'll start things off, and I'll take the easy one here. Quentin Rollins, Miami, Ohio, was a four-year basketball player at Miami. Finished second in school history in steals.
Yeah, and obviously one of the more intriguing cornerback prospects in this draft just because of his athleticism.
One year college football.
Yeah, and I think like when you talk about upside for a player, I think there's a lot of different things that go into that. But I think if he can check out mentally, if people think that he's going to be motivated to improve his stock as a football player, I think the sky's the limit for that kid because he's got all the athletic traits you want.
All right, next, we already talked about him, one of the mock draft selections. Eric Armstead was a two-year letterman at Pleasant Grove High School in Sacramento, California.
And he played at Oregon.
Yes.
So, very intriguing guy.
It's another double dip there. Benardrick McKinney, also discussed earlier on the show, was a starter for the Rosa Fort, Mississippi high school basketball team.
Averaged a double-double.
Really good team, that team.
Rosa Fort, that's right.
Yes.
Pound the boards.
Number four on my list here, Devin Smith of Ohio State, played at Massillon with the documentary Go Tigers.
Okay.
The subject of documentary there.
Yeah, I like that.
Vic Beasley of Clemson, get a little edge rush burst off the edge there. Played high school and AAU ball in Georgia. And last but not least, a historic figure here, Gene Siffrin of UMass. Played with James Naismith.
He played with James Naismith. James Naismith. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
See?
You beat me to it.
I had to work that's that good. In for you.
Yeah.
So
he used to shoot on peach baskets.
Played at Miami New Orleans High School and even had small school offers to play college basketball.
See, it's interesting, though, that you bring up when you talk about Rollins and his athletic upside, and then you talk about Siffrin. And people, I've seen that Siffrin is getting thrown out as having a lot of upside. I don't know that he's got a lot of upside.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He's only downside. His athletic peak has come and gone.
Yeah, and just because, from all the questions you hear, and obviously we don't know, we've never met the kid, we don't know him, and we don't know all the details, but any reports say that, there may be some questions about how he is off the field. So is he going to improve? I don't know. I mean, that's the question. So how much upside is there? I mean, that's the question with Siffrin. I know you're a big fan.
That's the reason
not,
I picked him.
There is not much of upside. That's the answer.
It's the only reason I selected him. So.
All right, there you go. So you're six guys.
Okay.
You go.
All right, I'll go. All right, so for my first one, I went with TJ Clemmings out of Pittsburgh, former. I think a lot of people think he could be a first-round pick in this draft, 6'5", 309 pounds. Only played 2 years of high school football, but he was a legitimate D1 basketball prospect. Had offers from Providence and Seton Hall. Could have gone on to play D1 college basketball, but he was the number one football prospect in the state of New Jersey. So decided to play at Pitt as a defensive end, made the switch over to offensive line.
Was he ever close to going to T?
No, he wasn't close to going to T. No, I mean, we've gotten the number one prospect out of Jersey a couple of years, but Clemmings was a guy that was, I think he was a 4 or 5 star recruit. And,
okay.
Going to Pitt, and obviously it's worked out for him. The second guy is Nick Marshall out of Auburn. When he signed on at Georgia, obviously he started his career at Georgia as a corner, which is what he's going to play in the NFL. He signed on to play both sports. So he played both basketball and he played football. And he's got like Brandon Boykin, he's got a dunk tape on YouTube. So you can go check out Nick Marshall's ability.
Dog's going to the tournament.
Yeah, there you go.
Why don't you just work in some of the highlights for those who are watching
I'll
this.
Think about it. So you got Nick Marshall there. The third one's Randy Gregory, just under 6'5", 235 pounds. A lot of people think he's one of the best pass rushers in the draft. He's got that basketball frame. He had legitimate D1 basketball interest coming out of high school. He's actually talked about how he had senioritis his senior year of high school and how he was thinking maybe, I'm not going to qualify for football. Maybe I'll just go and play basketball instead. And, so he's kind of toying with that. Ended up going out west to junior college. Actually broke his leg playing basketball, and that affected all the different offers he got. So, and recently, actually, I was just reading in an interview, he talked about how he actually hopes that he plays linebacker at the next level instead of defensive end because playing in space, it kind of reminded him of playing basketball. So that basketball background is paying dividends there for Gregory. Number four, I went with Desmond Lewis, the wide receiver out of Central Arkansas. Bo, we saw him down at the Senior Bowl, and that the basketball background definitely comes into play here for Lewis because 6'4", 214 pounds, he's bigger than a Devontae Parker, who I think they have very similar skill sets in a lot of different ways, their ability to go up and get the ball. And Lewis, with those great ball skills, I mean, he's got the – I think the arrow's pointing up on that kid. I think, you know, he's got a ton of upside when you talk about the receiver position. So Lewis, a guy with a basketball background that I think – has some ability. Let's see. Ronald Martin's a guy that we saw in person, Bo, at the Shrine game. Safety out of LSU, 6'1", 217 pounds. Played basketball at LSU, not just in high school. He's All-State as a basketball player in high school, but played in LSU. Athletic kid, played over the slot, runs pretty well, plays sideline to sideline. A lot of the questions people have are just his instincts and, you know, his ability to run downhill and take good angles. I think that's why he wasn't invited to the combine. But lastly, Shaq Riddick out of West Virginia, who was one of the pro day stars early on. I think last week he ran, let's see, at 245 pounds, he ran a 4.59. He had a 36 vertical jump, had 124 inches on the broad, tested well in the shuttle. So big kid with athletic upside. He was a Gardner Webb transfer. He's only played 1 year at West Virginia. I actually watched him at Gardner Webb, and he's got some ability. He's got some. He definitely has some athletic upside. But it's a question of, look, you know, can he put it all together for the next level?
All right. I'll start with Southern Illinois tight end Michael Pruitt.
Sure.
Who played basketball at Kirkwood, Jeremy Macklin's high school in St. Louis. Played basketball and volleyball. Team won a district title. And obviously you saw that athleticism when he blew up the combine. Best 40-yard dash, best vertical jump among tight ends, fourth in the broad jump, third in the shuttle. So you saw that from him.
I thought Fran would take him. Fran, I know, is a big Michael Pruitt.
Bo took him early. I mean, he's one of the best receiving tight ends in this draft. So Pruitt's a fun guy.
All right, moving on to similar to Vic Beasley, Bud Dupree from Kentucky, also a standout basketball player. His team in Georgia won a Class A state title, and you know, just imagining him on the basketball court, like, you know, trying to take a charge from Bud Dupree coming at is like is a nightmare. And you saw his athleticism too. The best broad jump among defensive linemen and linebackers. Third in the 40 with a 4.56, and second in the vertical jump. All right, Jaquiski Tart from Samford down in Mobile. He was actually a basketball player through and through, and was trying to go to play college basketball before his senior year in high school when he went to the football coach and asked to play a little bit of football. So that's probably why he wound up at Samford, because he only had one year of football in high school.
What's the pro comparison on him, Brian Thomas? Jaquiski Tart, Cam Chancellor 2.0. That's all I called him when we were down in Mobile.
Oh, okay.
Sleeping on his favorite guy.
I thought you meant the NBA comparison.
No, I mean, come on.
He was a all-academic team member of the Mobile Press Register's basketball team. So there you go. All right, next, Oregon center Hronis Grasu. And this one is reaching a little bit. Played 1 year of college of high school basketball at Crespi High School. Averaged 1 point per game and 2.6 rebounds per game.
But his favorite player growing up, his idol, his athletic idol, Kobe Bryant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can really see that in his game.
Excellent.
That makes a lot of sense.
Hey, that's who he wanted to be.
All right. Well, speaking of Drexel basketball, we go to Jalen Strong now, the Arizona State wide receiver. His father, John Rankin, great story. His father, the second leading scorer in Drexel basketball history, then went on to become a detective with the Philadelphia police, passed away from leukemia when Jalen Strong was 9 years old. So he's this just beloved figure in Philadelphia. Jalen Strong played a little bit in high school, was mostly a football player though at West Catholic, and then came to the Eagles a couple days ago. So, and he's a guy who obviously is in contention to be maybe the third receiver drafted.
Yeah, I think he's definitely in contention for that spot. We talked about him last week, just comparing him to Jordan Matthews with the ball skills, the ability to be able to go up and win contested situations. Strong brings that to the table.
All right, now my final guy.
This one you were building up a little bit.
And this is, I wanted to do my entire pick six like this. I wanted to find college basketball players who could potentially go into the NFL.
Okay.
A la Julius Thomas and Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
So you're looking for that body type that is sort of out of place on the basketball court guy. You know, Julius Thomas was 6'5", 240 when he was in college. Graham was 6'8", 260, obviously a little bit bigger. And I wanted to find guys in the tournament. Slim pickings. So I only found one, but I found my guy. This is my horse. Now, the problem is he's only a sophomore. So we're going to have to wait a couple years. But he is 6'6", 250. His name is Mo Ali Cox from VCU. So VCU is a 7 seed in the West. They play Ohio State Thursday at 4:40. I want everybody to watch Mo Ali Cox. He averages 5.7 rebounds a game, 7.4 points, 7'1 wingspan at 6'6". He's a beast. I watched some highlights. He is built like a football player. This is my guy.
You heard it here first.
There you go. See? Scout in the making.
Perhaps the future Eagles tight end.
He's a
future Pro Bowl tight end, Mo Ali Cox.
There you go.
He's a scout. He's a bracketologist. Is there anything Bo can't do?
Nothing.
Except.
Well, you know what I can do? I can toss to an interview with TJ Clemmings.
The unofficial visit.
And joining me now here at the Renaissance Hotel down in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, Pittsburgh offensive tackle TJ Clemmings. TJ, for a player or a fan that hasn't watched you, can you give a scouting report for what fans can expect to see from you on the field?
They can expect to see me out there flying around as a tackle, really. I mean, I bring some athleticism to the game and some speed, and I try to use that as an advantage.
Is that what you feel like your redeeming quality is your athleticism? Is that what sets you apart?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I haven't been playing that long, so technically I'm not all the way there where I'd like to be, but, you know, that takes some time and that takes some work, so I'll get there, but, you know.
For fans that don't know, TJ made the switch from the defensive line to the offensive line a couple years ago. What has that switch been like? Is there a player that you kind of pattern yourself after to kind of, you know, mold yourself into an offensive tackle?
Oh, not necessarily. Not at first. I was really just trying to learn a position and just learn plays and what I needed to learn to really just be able to be on the field. And, you know, I wouldn't say more to my second year. I started watching offensive tackles who were doing really well in the league. You know, Jason Peters, the Dwayne Browns, the Tyron Smiths, you know, of the league. I really enjoy watching those guys. I try to learn and pick up a few things that maybe they're doing that's helping them as tackles. So those are guys that I like to watch.
Do you feel like with your history as a defensive lineman that helps you on the offensive side, knowing different techniques and knowing, like, okay, this is what the defensive lineman's going to want to try and do to me. I have to prevent that?
It helps a little bit. Sometimes I forget that I can go back to that and help myself out as an offensive lineman. But it does help a small amount.
Is there a player down here in Mobile that you've seen that you say, okay, this is the best guy here defensively that you've gone up against practice?
Oh, yeah. I would say Nate Orchard.
Nate Orchard, okay.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, and I respect his game a lot.
So Nate Orchard was the best player here that you've gone up against. Who was the best player that you went up against this season?
I would say Daddy Nichols, a similar style kind of player with speed.
Okay. Virginia Tech.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of the players I've been telling everybody who I really had to prepare for. Not that I didn't have to prepare for anybody else, but really just he was one of those guys that, you know, it could have been a good, really good game.
Going into a game, if you know you're going to be going up against a pass rusher that's on the smaller, quicker side or the bigger power guy, what would you rather go up against?
I'd say the bigger power guy.
Okay.
I would say, you know, you'd hope that they get tired a little faster than the smaller guys. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to get all different kinds of guys on the next level anyway, so might as well prepare for them all.
All right, well, TJ Clemmings, thanks very much for joining us. Hopefully we see you in Philadelphia one day.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
On the clock.
Fran, wonderful, insightful interview with TJ Clemmings there.
Thank you.
And it's time now for On the Clock.
Great.
And, you know, woo! I want to get through these a little quicker because I do want to get to all the mock drafts from the from the fans. So let's go through these. But today's game is a new game.
Ooh.
It's called Third is the Word. Not Bird is the Word. Is the Word. Okay. And I want to get us on the record with some predictions before the draft, okay? First question. Who will be the third quarterback drafted? Will it be someone like Garrett Grayson, Brett Hundley, Sean Mannion, Blake Sims, Bryce Petty? Who will be the third quarterback drafted?
I think it's Brett Hundley.
I agree.
I think it's Brett Hundley. I think that the physical traits will be too much for a team to pass up on, and in a class where you know, there's not a ton of talent. I think someone will bet on the high character and the athletic traits.
I was going to add the high character part of it. Seems like he could be the face of a franchise. But I'll go with Brett Hundley.
I don't want it to be a clean sweep, but I think I'll go Brett Hundley also.
Okay. All right.
This is a tough one. Who will be the third wide receiver drafted? Obviously, we assume Kevin White, Amari Cooper, in some order, will be 1-2. Seems like DeVante Parker is maybe the consensus one right now.
Yeah.
I know, Fran, you don't agree that he's the third best receiver.
That's
and
correct.
You've got a bunch of guys. Perryman, Funchess, Sammy Coates, Jalen Strong, Devin Smith, DGB. A lot of options.
I do tend to think that Parker will be the third guy drafted. A year ago, I didn't think that Justin Gilbert was the number one corner in the least bit. Yep. But if you asked before the draft, I would have said Justin Gilbert's going to be the first corner off the board. I think DeVante Parker will probably be the third one. I think if there is a challenge, it would be Jalen Strong. But I'll say Parker.
I don't disagree. It just seems like the consensus is too much in that direction. And it's funny because I just hear Fran's voice in the back of my head, like, you know.
He's not that good.
He shouldn't be that high. But I'm like, it's not that, you know, one person right or wrong this way. It's just everyone else is in that direction. So I'll just lean toward Parker.
I'll go off the board. I don't want this one to be a clean sweep.
Okay.
This would surprise me, I guess, but it makes sense. I'm going to go with if someone is going to take a risk on the talent.
Oh,
and go
DGB.
DGB.
Sure.
All right.
I'll say Green Beckham.
As long as it's not the Eagles.
Just put it on the board.
Okay.
All right. Who is going to be the third player drafted?
Ooh.
Who's going to be the number three overall pick?
Mm.
Tampa Bay, Tennessee, 1-2 right now. Jacksonville is on the clock at 3.
I think it's Dante Fowler. I really think that Leonard Williams is going to go 2 to Tennessee. And I think Jacksonville is going to take Dante Fowler. I think they need an edge rusher. They need that Leo. And I think Fowler, local guy, high character, has the athletic upside for a pass rusher. I think it'll be Fowler.
But you're also contradicting yourself last week when you said Mariota would go top 2 or top 3.
I did.
But that's okay. That's all right. We got to go on the record with a bunch of things.
That's right.
They're going to contradict themselves.
Yep. I'm going thinking Mariota goes top 2. It'll be Leonard Williams would go number 3. And you have a young, tons of potential, productive at USC, can play all over the line. You know, I don't know if he's going to live up to a Richard Seymour-type comp, but I'll give Gus Bradley a nice little weapon there along the defensive line and Leonard Williams.
I'm going to go...
Could they take a receiver?
I'm going to go Amari Cooper.
They just took two receivers, though, and they got another one in Allen Hurns and undrafted. I mean, they took three guys last year.
Yeah, and they spent money on Julius Thomas.
That's fair, yeah.
Stockpile.
Yeah. I would just go off the board.
Yeah, that's fine.
It could be Mariota, too. It could be a team trading to 3 to get Mariota.
Sure, that's a fair point. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Okay. All right. Who will be the third Oregon player drafted, which basically means... Mariota's going 1, we assume.
Yeah.
Who will be picked first, Armstead or Fisher? And so who will then be picked third?
I think Fisher is third. Armstead's potential, you know, that 6'7 frame, you know. Though I see the mock draft that he's there at 20. If I'm the Eagles, I'm almost thinking, I'm hoping he'd be there at 20. That'd be a nice player to have. I understand how good the defensive line is and there are other holes you want to fill. I think Fisher will be the third Oregon player.
I tend to agree, and we're on the same – me and C-Mac are on the same page here, but – I think Armstead's upside is just way too high for him to last at 20 to me. I think he's good enough as a player right now that he can warrant that selection. I think Armstead will go 2 and Fisher will go 3.
I agree. I think Fisher 3.
Okay.
Who will be the third running back drafted? Now, this is tough because there is not a necessarily consensus about 1-2.
Mm.
So, you know, it could be Gurley and Melvin Gordon, but, you know, maybe Gurley is the third running back drafted. You've got all the guys, Abdullah, Yeldon, Tevin Coleman, Ajayi, David Cobb, Duke Johnson. Who will be the third running back drafted?
I'm going to go, this is a player who caught my eye on the combine from the size standpoint, not realizing how big a frame he has, TJ Yeldon from Alabama. I'm thinking probably Gordon Gurley, not sure which order, probably at this point Gordon, mainly because of the injury, but I will go with TJ Yeldon as the number three back.
I would tend to agree. I'll go off the board for this one. I'll go away from Yeldon here. I'm going to go Jay Ajayi, you know, a guy that I think can fit in a number of different schemes. I don't know. I think that Amir Abdullah has a lot of upside, you know, just from his ability as a pass receiver as well. But, I think Ajayi's got the ability to hold a full workload, especially if a team, you know, like Dallas. I mean, Dallas could draft him to be their guy, and he would be their starter. So, I see him having that kind of potential. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ajayi be the next guy off the board.
I'm thinking it's going to be Melvin Gordon. I think Gurley is going to go one.
Yep.
And I think someone is going to fall in love with either Ajayi or Coleman as a guy who they can bring in and just be a three-down back right away, because sure, Gordon has those question marks as to whether he can be a three-down back. So I think someone's going to fall in love with one of those guys, and okay, Gordon, and
I like
goes
that.
Three.
Okay.
All right, last one, and this will prepare us for the final segment. Who will be the third pick by the Eagles? Who will be the Eagles' third-round pick, assuming they keep all their picks?
I'm going to go with a guy that we've talked about a couple times already.
Hope it's a guy.
And it's Nelson Aguilar. We've seen the history with guys that have visited. He's a yards after catch guy, which is obviously important in the Eagles offense. I think any receiver, that's one of the more common questions I get on Twitter. What receiver fits for the Eagles offense? I think any receiver fits in this offense. It's a matter of what you're looking for. But Aguilar, I think, played in a similar offense, has the yards after catch ability, can line up inside or outside, very similar to what Josh Huff was a year ago. I'm going to go Aguilar.
It's going to be a position that fans are going to look to target. I don't think he'll be here in the third round. This is where I'm struggling. It's the value of
as we grade these. But if one of us hits on this, this is worth like 20 points, because this is
okay. So
this is a
ridiculous
bonus. Yeah.
I'm going to go someone who we've talked about on the program already, Demaryius Randall, the safety from Arizona State.
That's a good one.
I like that.
You know, could be good value. I think he probably, because of the lack of safety help available in draft, probably gets pushed up into that second round. But if he's there in the third round, I think he's a Philadelphia Eagle.
This is tough. This is a tough one. And, you know, as I said, I do these every day.
Sure. Yep.
And generally speaking, my first three rounds are in some combination offensive line, wide receiver, secondary. And he's probably not going to be there in the third round. But I'm gonna go with Stanford corner Alex Carter.
I think it's possible that he's there, because I think he's like a step below athletically what teams want for like that top shelf corner. So I like that.
And he fits the scheme.
Sure. Yep.
He's got that Pac-12 connection that everybody is always looking for. I'm going
high character.
Alex Carter. High character. All right. Well, before we get to the fan mock drafts, we have one more unofficial visit. My dear friend, Blake Bell, the former quarterback turned tight end from Oklahoma. Hope he lands in Midnight Green.
The unofficial visit.
All right, we're here with Oklahoma tight end Blake Bell, former quarterback, of course. What has this been this week been like for you, continuing the transition to tight end?
Oh, it's been amazing. Obviously coming out here with some of the nation's best, guys you've been playing against during the year and stuff like that. So I think everyone's having fun with it.
What is the toughest part of the transition from quarterback to tight end that started last season?
Well, I think it's just different from not taking snaps and dropping back and looking at coverages, other than your hands on the ground, you're blocking defensive ends, you're blocking linebackers and that kind of stuff.
Running routes, blocking, where do you feel like you're most developed? Where do you feel like you need to work on?
Well, I think everything's coming along. I feel like I'm getting better each and every day with all that. But, these next couple of months, I want to fine-tune all the different stuff, blocking, routes, and all that stuff.
Are there guys who you, in the league who you sort of look at and say, feel like you could have a similar game to them?
A lot of them. A lot of tight ends, you can see it's kind of progressing as a lot of guys running routes and catching the ball, and they're good blockers. So, I could sit here and name a bunch, but there's a lot of good ones.
Because tight end has sort of been a position where guys can develop over time from not necessarily being a tight end for a long time, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, all these guys, do you feel like there's a good future for you?
Absolutely. And I'm excited about it. I'm just out here having fun and trying to show everyone that I can play tight end and I want to play tight end.
You think we'll see a double pass on Saturday at some point? You'll get to throw it at all?
That'd be nice, but we'll see.
All right. And then any expectations for the combine or for the draft for numbers you'll put up or anything like that, or where you hope to come off the board?
Have some goals set, but that'll be this next month. Go work and try to reach all of them.
All right. Well, Blake, best of luck, and maybe one day we'll see you in Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, this is a Fran's brainchild here. It's a very good one. We submitted on Twitter for fans to submit their mock draft. Now, at first, you know, Fran's like, oh, have them do a 7-round mock draft. I'm like, I know some fans are going to be hardcore fans and have a 7-round mock draft.
We got a few of those.
And we got quite a few.
Yep.
And some, you know, offered probably the first couple picks. But basically, we just said, we'll just take whatever you want. If you want to do a first-round pick, first three picks, full mock draft, let's have at it. So let's
like
go
this.
Through these. There's a bunch.
Should we give a prize to the best one?
I don't want to promise any prizes since we still have stuff from the season that we need to send out.
Beowulf will sign a basketball and send it to you.
Okay.
And someone will jump on that. All right. So first one jumping on here from at Mr. Nathan Yell goes with Lyle Collins in the first round.
I like that.
I like Lyle Collins. Potential guard.
Very nice. Okay. Very nice pick there. Gerard Holloman in the second round.
Ooh, reach.
That's where we kind of did. Gerard Holloman, I think, can play on the back end as a pass defender, but you got to question his ability to play the run.
He's not going in the first three rounds.
I don't think so.
Do you like him or Sample better?
I think you got to go with Sample over Holloman just because he's a little bit more well-rounded.
Okay. And his third round pick, someone who we talked about, Nelson Aguilar.
Okay. He's going with France third round
pick.
There
you go. I like that. Back on track.
So that's at Mr. Nathan Yell. Now let's go to at GK Sporting.
Like Meatloaf, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Jake Fisher.
Okay.
First pick.
I mean, you know.
It just makes a
gun
lot
to my, gun to, gun to my foot
sense.
Right now, if I had to pick a first round pick for the Eagles, it would be Jake Fisher.
Which toe is it pointed at?
Well, I didn't want to be too, you know, too aggressive.
Too morbid. Okay. Jake Fisher's look, you guys know how I feel about Jake Fisher. Yeah. I mean, before the combine, I said he was a top three tackle for me. I like Jake Fisher a lot. So
at the
I'm
combine,
that one.
When he was performing well at the combine, I'm sitting there. I'm like, that's going to be your 20th overall pick, folks.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Ladies and gentlemen. So let's get that in your minds right now, just to prepare yourselves.
I like it.
Second round pick, Byron Jones.
Okay.
Okay. Whoa. Hold up. Pump the brakes.
Let's see what he has. He's a trade-off.
It's a safety.
I think he's a corner. So, I mean, look, he could play safety, I guess, but I think he's a corner, and he was a very good corner to me. So, getting him in the second round, I think is great value.
Third round pick, Bo's favorite. Ollie Marpet.
Nice.
There you go.
This
Hobart.
Is a good draft.
This is a really good draft. I like how this is coming together.
Is he a third round?
I think he's a third, fourth round guy. And now that's two linemen in the first three picks, too.
That's good. I like that. I have no problem with that.
I like that.
All right. His fourth pick, Henry
Receiver.
Anderson.
Ooh, I like that.
The lineman from Stanford.
Very reminiscent of Taylor Hart a year ago.
Okay.
He's got to have a receiver in here. That's the only thing he's missing.
We'll get to it. All right. Patience. Alani Fua.
Oh, your guy, your boy. That's C-Mac likes Alani Fua after the combine.
Who? I don't even know who that is.
The linebacker for BYU.
Okay. So he's probably like 25.
I'm not sure.
I'm out on Fua.
Then Adrian Amos, the safety.
Okay, I like Amos. He lands on my team sometimes.
Okay.
First little guy.
And then his last pick here, you get the receiver from William & Mary.
Oh,
Trey McBride.
Fran loves it.
Trey McBride in the seventh round is great.
He's not going to be there in the seventh round.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be.
He's
going to
be a third, fourth round pick, I think.
So,
but that's
actually
like that.
technically this would be his sixth pick. I'm just going through.
Yeah, he doesn't have two fifths.
Yeah,
that's good though. I like that.
I like
that's
that.
Good,
all right, leader in the clubhouse.
Okay, so next come from at Mark I Campbell number 4, Eric Armstead.
Okay.
Number 20.
Okay. Right.
So these were solicited before we talked about the mock draft.
Sure.
So.
Yep. Sure. Double A.
Okay. Nelson Aguilar.
At round two.
Round two.
All right.
Third pick, T.J. Yeldon.
Okay. I know that makes Fran happy.
I'm liking this draft right now.
Okay. Next one. Now, this position.
Need some beef on the offensive line with this draft.
This position did not come up in a lot of the fan mock drafts. So maybe it's in chip we trust. Maybe they woke up early and read your great Sam Bradford piece.
Uh-oh.
Bryce Petty.
Okay, round four.
Reminiscent of the Matt Barkley pick.
That's right.
The first of the two fifth-round picks, Ifo Ekpre Olumu.
Obviously, like everyone's going to link him to the Eagles. Tore an ACL and went to Oregon.
That's right.
Next, staying in the secondary, Curtis Drummond.
I like that.
This is good value here. Okay.
Next coming up, he was the unofficial visit just a few moments ago. Blake Bell.
Nice. Oh, I like that.
It's a good draft.
It's a good draft, but he's leaving the offensive line bereft.
Yes.
It's true.
And last but not least, we're going back to the secondary. We're going back to Oregon. Eric Dargan.
Eric Dargan.
Nice. Safety. Yeah, that's a reasonable seventh round pick.
I think so.
That's a good draft.
That's a good draft. I would agree with you.
We need some beef
line.
Up front.
Yeah. You got to go heavy there on the undrafted free agent crew.
Okay. So next.
I think that's my favorite one so far, though.
You like that one the most?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
I prefer the one before.
Okay.
Next we go from at Jerry the Azman, the Wizard of Az.
Okay.
Pays homage to Jerry Azman. Yeah, I love Twitter. First round from Fresno State, Deron Smith.
I like Deron Smith. I don't know if he's a first rounder, but I like Deron Smith. He's a versatile guy, and we haven't really talked about him on the podcast. Very versatile guy. He's been hurt this postseason, so he couldn't go to the Senior Bowl, couldn't test at the combine.
Perfect for the Eagles.
Yeah, but when you watch him, I mean, he lined up over the slot. He'll come down and he'll hit you. Good instinctive player. He can play man. He can play zone. He's a very intriguing safety. I think he's not getting a lot of love because he hasn't been able to play in the postseason.
Okay.
Second round pick, Bunches of Funches, Devin Funches from Michigan.
Okay,
love that in round two.
Number three, Cam Irving, interior lineman, Florida State.
I like that.
Okay, I think that's where he kind of goes too.
He's a third round pick?
I think so. I think he's a second or third round pick.
You don't think he's the Travis Frederick of this year's draft class, someone takes him?
I could see that
one.
Yeah, I don't think. I think he's definitely better fit inside for sure.
It's a good pick.
Yeah.
So he goes. Those are his. His picks.
Those are his three.
Okay.
All right. That's a good three round pick. Yeah, sure.
All right. Next from at T Lindstrom 17. First round pick. You know, kind of gets out of here. Just best available.
Okay. Oh, he just, that's what he says.
Best available. Bo likes that.
Yeah, great pick. Love it. Man after my own heart.
Second round, Shaq Thompson of Washington.
Okay.
Okay. So he'll play linebacker, you'd assume, maybe safety. It depends on how you feel about him.
Yeah.
All right.
Number three, we've already talked about him, Ifo Ekpre-Olumu.
Okay.
Fourth round pick, East Carolina's Justin Hardy.
Ooh. I love Justin Hardy.
Yeah, and I like that pick.
You like that?
He lands on my team in the fourth round often. Yeah. Fourth, fifth round.
You know what I like about him? He walked on to East Carolina and he became their leading receiver all time. Like, he's got better every single year. You watched him as a junior and there were issues with his route running and, you know, he had some inconsistent hands. He caught everything this year. He, you know, set all kinds of records. I mean, he got better every single year. I like Justin Hardy. I think arrows pointing up on him. He's a safe bet, I think.
Poor guy had to catch passes
from Shane Carden. Yeah, I mean.
Gosh.
All right, so that's his draft.
I like that.
Next we go
to that's a good draft.
At Eagles Geek, he does the first 2 days of the draft as well. He starts out with Jake Fisher.
Okay.
First round.
Yep.
Deron Smith in the second round.
Interesting. Another Deron Smith. Okay.
And then Nelson Aguilar in the third.
Strong.
It's a good draft.
Yeah, good group. Good group.
Okay. A little more in depth here from at Eagles Nut.
Oh, Eagles Nut.
Eagles Nut. Goes with Fisher in the first round.
We all like.
Okay.
Quentin Rollins.
Nice.
In the second round.
Okay. Short arms.
It's all right.
Aguilar in the third.
Okay. He's the most popular pick.
Yeah,
yes. Josh Shaw, cornerback USC.
Yep. He may not be there in the fourth round.
I think that's ultimately where he'll probably end up going, but you might get a better player than you would imagine from the fourth round.
Good scheme fit.
Definitely.
Questions upstairs.
Sure. I like that.
Next up, Jameel Douglas. Guard from Arizona State.
Okay. Interesting. Plays tackle and guard. So, you know, gives you some flexibility there.
And he makes sense there.
Yeah.
The other fifth round pick goes to Alabama linebacker Xavier Dixon.
Weird spelling. Like XZ.
It's XZ, yes. Yeah.
It's a Tony Pauline favorite.
Because typically it'd be Xavier, but this one specifically is Xavier.
Yeah. Tony likes him a lot.
Okay. Blake Bell.
Yes.
Oh, another Blake Bell. Look at that.
Last but not least, a quarterback, Washington State's Connor Halliday.
Wow.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I think that's a very reasonable draft. That's my leader so far.
You did a good job. All right, what do you got for the next one?
So next, from at Mezcalitos 22, goes with a corner in round one in Jalen Collins.
Okay. Guy we've talked about a lot.
Got Nelson Aguilar, round two.
Wow, he's definitely the most popular name, I think, with Fisher.
Damaris Randall in the third.
Okay, your boy.
Ali Marpet.
Oh, wow. He's hitting all the fan favorites.
In the fourth. Yep. Edge rusher from North Dakota State, Kyle Emanuel.
Oh, look at that.
In the fifth, right?
It was fifth. First, fifth round pick.
All right. I mean, we saw him at the Shrine game.
Undersized.
Yeah, a little bit undersized, but definitely has some upside. Was very, very productive at North Dakota State.
Central Arkansas receiver, who we just talked about a short time ago, Desmond Lewis.
Big possession guy. Can go up and get the ball like that one.
Another receiver from Georgia Tech, DeAndre Smelter in the sixth.
Smelter's intriguing. I mean, you talk about a guy who's played baseball, has had some shoulder issues in the past. You know, he was a former pitcher, but a guy who's got some athleticism, is a good blocker coming out of that offense. He's got to refine a few things, but intriguing guy as a late-round pick that you want to develop.
Smelter, Skelter.
That's right.
And this draft would not be complete without Oregon player Tony Washington.
I like that one. Tony Washington's a good fit.
Good fit. I think he'll be picked before the seventh round.
Yeah, you might be right.
All right.
Might
so
be wrong.
Maybe you're wrong.
Another full draft here from @Estonia67 goes with TJ Clemmings, who we talked about a lot on the podcast today.
Clemmings makes sense. I mean, if you're looking for an offensive lineman, look.
Guy can play guard for a couple of years before Jason Peters is done and then go to right tackle.
He'll ever be done?
To left.
I don't think Jason Peters will ever be
maybe
done.
Maybe not.
That's athletic the upside, though, for sure.
All right. Byron Jones, second
like
round.
Yep. Sign off there.
Then third round from Washington, Haole Kikaka.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we haven't talked about him a lot. I mean, and I think it's because the measurables may not be what Eagles fans expect the Eagles to like. But definitely a crafty pass rusher that has wins in a variety of different ways. It'll be interesting. He's kind of fallen off a little bit. I feel like he had a lot of buzz going into the season.
He could be injury pick, and he's got some injury
history.
Concerns.
I think that was a big thing with him.
He had a banged up body.
Yeah.
Fourth round, we've mentioned him already later in the draft, Trey McBride.
Okay. All right. This is a very reasonable draft so far.
Kenny Bell.
Oh, yeah.
I like Kenny Bell.
Yeah, I like Kenny Bell too. And he's there for me in the
so
fourth round
also. McBride and Kenny Bell, huh?
I like that.
That's the only thing is that I think that those two guys are very similar type players. So I don't know that you'd add both because they're very.
You bring them both in, see who's better.
Well,
it's
like double dip.
It's like in The Dark Knight. You break the pool cue, only one of you is coming out alive. Let's see. Only one of you is going to be playing on this team.
Time for tryouts.
Second, fifth round pick, Greg Mance.
Out of Toledo.
All right. I like that. This is a good draft.
Interior lineman. Okay. I like it.
Sixth round pick, Anthony Harris.
Safety out of UVA. Okay. And a lot of people are really high on Harris, and he's another guy who's been hurt. He couldn't go to the Senior Bowl because of injury. Another guy who's got different athletic traits that you like. I want to do a little bit more work on him, but probably would have gotten a little bit more love if he'd been able to play.
Last but not least, his seventh-round pick, Za'Darius Smith, Kentucky.
I like Za'Darius Smith.
That's the best draft we've got so far.
I think so. I think that might be the best one.
All right.
Who was the second-round pick? I always forget the
second-round pick. Byron
Jones. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I like
that.
Yeah,
that's a good draft.
All right, so the last couple I picked here.
A little bit of recency bias, but we'll get it.
Yeah, probably.
That's fine. These, I just summarized some of the top picks here. @Phil_Shocklin, first three picks, Landon Collins.
Okay.
Safety. Sammy Coates.
Sure.
In the second round.
I could sign up for that.
And this one, don't think it's going to be there, Jake Fisher.
Yeah, he won't be there in round three. But
you could sell me on Landon Collins, Sammy Coates, and then an offensive lineman in the third round. I'm in on that.
What's interesting is that that's the only person that gave us Landon Collins in round one.
Yes. So last one I picked here, @DFP198X, goes with Fisher in the first round, Quinton Rollins in the second round, Marpet in the third round. And the reason I picked this draft in particular, Amir Abdullah in the fourth round. So we haven't seen a lot of running backs.
No.
Either. That's reasonable.
We had Yeldon. Now we have Abdullah.
I think a lot of people liked Abdullah for the Eagles offense a few weeks ago. But, look, I think he could play that Darren Sproles role early on for sure.
The Sproles-Royce.
The top spark rating amongst all running backs.
All backs. There you go.
In this year's draft class. If you're looking at the athletic profile. Other prospects.
Jake Fisher was the top spark offensive lineman.
Yes.
There you have it. So, gentlemen.
No, that was good.
So, there you have it. So
I enjoyed that.
Do that again in a couple of weeks.
So, @Estonia67, we'll say is the winner.
Marcus Hunt gets the winner.
All right.
There you go.
Excellent. So we have some prizes we need to send out. So, we'll just throw another one to the list there. So, gentlemen, great stuff this week. A lot of in-depth knowledge. Special thanks to Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com for joining us here on the podcast. And that has been the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. We'll be back once again next week.